Pastor Donovan. Well, it's good to see you all again this, there's no clock this morning. How's everyone going? Good? That doesn't sound really enthusiastic. Okay. Who's had a good week? Oh, good. It's very good. I'm glad you had a good week. We've got our brother, Mr. Graham, who's out of hospital now, and he's recuperating. Is it at home? Yeah, Justine has been checking in on him. He's recuperating at home, and so that's really good. And when I think of a church, when I think of this church, I think of this as a place that people, it's a place to belong, and it's a place to be planted. And those are two powerful things, to belong and to be what? To belong and to be, yes. So it's a place to belong. C3 Kwinana is a place to belong and a place to be planted. And what people do that are in a family together, they check in on one another. Text message, phone call, whatever it may be, visit if you can, cook a meal if you will, all those kind of things that we do because we care for what? For one another. The burden, these are the Lord's instructions, not my own. If they were mine, then you could say, well, you can get stuffed, you know, but they're not my instructions, they're Jesus' instructions. And we all know we want to serve the what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what C3 Kwinana is, a place to belong and a place to be planted. And so as we watched the video last week of the C3 culture, the C3 global culture, and really it is about a message that is going out to people to say, what can you expect when you come into one of our local churches? And so they went through 10 different things, worship, prayer, connectedness, serving, giving, and generosity is all the things that define who, what C3 culture is. For us specifically, we honed in on prayer, connect groups, serving, and vibrant worship. And then, of course, now we're adding a place to belong and a place to be planted. So this is who we are. We're people that pray. I know we all pray, but we emphasize prayer because we know it is the one thing that underpins everything that we do. And it is really a vehicle by which the Lord is going to come through and do what he wants to do in our lives. This is why the Lord said to, when he was talking about David, he said this about him. He said that, I took you from the sheep pen and all that stuff you were doing, and I placed you to become king over my people so that you would free them from the oppression of the Philistines. That was the assignment. And so what the Lord does is that he raises men and women all with assignments to do a specific thing. And we all, if it's a house of prayer, we dial into the heart of God so we can get our what? Assignment. Very important. Connect groups so that we can thrive. We can exercise the gifts that the Lord has given us in a small setting, and then it begins to explode as it gets bigger and bigger, as you get more and more confidence. Serving is an expression of who God is, and because he gave us, he served us, we just do exactly what we see. We love to serve other people. And of course, to experience vibrant worship. Because what happens is that as you're singing the song, it's washing over you. Going through a hard time, you begin to sing the songs. That's the purpose of singing, is to realign your confidence back in the Lord. Amen? Yeah. This is why it's important that whenever we can, we try to come a bit early so we can fully experience the service experience and the worship experience about connecting us to the Lord. Is that good? Yeah. So we are now into the second half of 2024. Now, I don't know whatever happened to, or can anyone remember what their New Year's resolutions were? Anybody got some New Year's resolutions? Don't tell us. You know. Yes, well done. That one you don't want to forget. Before I do that, sorry, just a little bit of indulgence. I think it was Dennis and Akua's 10-year wedding anniversary. Is it? Yeah. Dennis, can you please stand up, Mr. Dennis? It's Woo! Yes, the reason why they're clapping is because they're saying you're a survivor. Don't worry, his wife is not here, so it's all good. That's fantastic. So anyway, we're into the second part of the year. No one can remember their New Year's resolutions. But what we're going to do today is we're going to do a stock take to see where we intended to be and where we are right now. In January this year, we spoke on altars. I started off with Andrew Baker. He's speaking on altering. The title of the message was altering. And so we then spoke about altars and said, if 2024 is going to be your best year or our best year, we need to activate the altars of God in our lives so we can achieve the purposes of God for our lives, our families, and our church. Setting the altar, creating the space for the Lord to move. That's what we spoke on. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 to 13, it says, meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. And so I guess the question this morning as we start off on this, the first part in a two-part series on prayer and fasting, on our Seek God Fast 2.0, that's the title, is are you tending to the fire on the altar? This was the instruction that was given by the Lord. The fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. How is your fire going? And Andrew gave us a wonderful quote by William Booth. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, I think. Yes. William Booth said, the tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your hearts. Anyone who has tended a fireplace fire knows it needs to be stirred up occasionally. And the reason we need to stir it up is because if we don't, it's going to do what naturally it's going to die. Which means we have to be very intentional with ensuring that our fire does not go out. So I'll define a bit what an altar is. An altar is really, it's a spiritual portal or place of exchange where spirits land, whether God, angels, or demons. It is where humanity meets with divinity. And so the altar functions as a supernatural landing strip, a meeting place, and a consecrated place. We know that in terms of altars, we can have godly altars or evil altars. Now, really, it is all dependent on who you were worshiping. This is why when Elijah was on Mount Carmel, there was the godly altar, then there was the evil altar of Baal. It means what was the object of their worship? The object of their worship for Elijah was the Lord God, and for Baal, they were the prophets of Baal that were, you know, worshiping their idol, Baal. So remember this. All altars are raised by a sacrifice, and they are sustained by sacrifice. Whether evil or good, they are raised by a sacrifice, and they are sustained. Just like that scripture says, every day you're supposed to put a what? A log on there so that you can then put the burnt offering. So every day there is an intentionality that is required from us by the Lord, sustained by sacrifice. This is why you'll find that if it is an evil altar, they'll be dancing and, you know, going all around, doing all that kind of stuff on the altar, dancing around it, because that's what sustains the what? The altar, the worship, the sacrifice of whatever it is. Back in the Bible, they would sacrifice to Molech and all of that, throw the babies in there. You know, nowadays they do other kind of stuff, maybe get a goat's heart, but that's what sustains the altar. There will come a time when we will talk about the altars of our fathers and our mothers' houses, which will help us, give us freedom from what? From these evil altars, these things that hold us back. Now, you understand that, and I digress here, that if there are certain rituals that you see in your life where the same things keeps happening over and over and over again, you have to understand there is an evil altar somewhere in your bloodline. Same thing happens. Everybody's just struggling. Nobody can seem to break through. I get it. Perhaps there could be some poor decisions being made there. But generally, in most occasions, somebody somewhere did something that is just causing things to not happen in your family's life and even to happen for you. So altars raised by sacrifice and sustained by what? By sacrifice. This is why the Lord then talks to us about bring your, you know, my brothers, I therefore beseech you, brethren, that you do what? You bring your bodies as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That's what we've been asked, to bring our bodies as a living sacrifice. So this is a place of exchange. We exchange when we get to the altar. The cross is an altar. We exchange our sin for his what? Righteousness. At the altar, we exchange our sickness for healing. Weakness for strength. So it's a place that we do transactions. An altar is essentially a place that you do transactions. We have an altar in our heart. Every human heart has an invisible altar where there's a war between the flesh and the spirit rages. The spirit wants to do one thing, the flesh wants to do a whole other thing. When we surrender our lives to the control of the Holy Spirit, we are in effect laying that area on the altar before God. Lord, I know I want to do this, I want to watch that, I want to do what I want to do, but guess what? I know what you want me to do, and therefore I give you. That's why I'm on the, it says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, continuously burning on the altar, which is obviously not a nice thing. And it's not meant to be nice, you know, because it's a sacrifice. So just as we did in January this year, where we started off the year with a corporate Seek God fast, as we call it, we have an opportunity starting on Monday, starting on Monday the 29th of July 2024 to Wednesday 31 July for us to really realign our hearts back to who? To the Lord, and to seek him through prayer and fasting. Now what will happen is that on those days from between 7 and 7:30 we'll be holding a devotional and a prayer online. Just goes for 30 minutes. That's not a lot of time. Because if there's 50 people there and everybody prays for 45 seconds, bang, done. You know, finished completely. So it's not a very long time, but it is really an opportunity for us to realign our hearts with what? To the Lord. So it's an opportunity for us to commence the second half of the year, seeking the Lord's direction for your family, for yourself, for your church, and for our country. In essence, we are starting a spiritual year. Now, what does that mean, starting a spiritual year? I'll explain. In fact, before I go, who got affected by the global glitch on Friday? Few people, eh? Everybody know what a global glitch was? Imagine, just like that, lives can change. So that is why we need to be seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, we're seeking you. If you don't know what happened, there was a glitch, software update, everything went haywire, flights were canceled, people were stranded, people couldn't get shopping at the, couldn't buy their shopping because the checkouts weren't working because they're all computer-based. If you're Microsoft, you know, disaster. The sad thing about that for me was how quickly things can shift. And that tells me that we are very vulnerable, which is why you should always keep a bit of cash on you. Well, but the truth is that, I mean, there's that, but it's just our preparedness that any time things can go left. And so we have to be those that are prepared for anything that eventuates. This is why it's important for all of us to spend the time to seek the Lord. What are his purposes for our lives? What are his purposes for your children? The pressures that these children are under these days. Back in the days when we wanted to watch some things that we're not supposed to watch, we had to get a VHS tape. And someone somewhere would find it, and then we would go somewhere and close the curtains at boarding school and watch it. Now, I say all this not because I'm trying to be funny, but I say to actually tell you the pressure that they're under is that this, the stuff that we had to search for is available for them straight away. So the pressure is different. This is why we need to seek the Lord. When you stopped going to school, that was the last contact you had with your friends. Now, they can hit you up anytime, so the bullying goes, continues even after you've left the school. That's pressure. So that's why we need to pray for our children that the Lord may visit them. Anybody agree with that? So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 to, and I'm going to be paraphrasing here because of time. So if you want to read it, you'll get it from 1 Samuel chapter 1 to 18. So it says, there was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuf, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, and then it explains his genealogy. Then it says something which is very interesting. It says, Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah did not. Now, back in the days, they did allow this kind of stuff. Nowadays, it's obviously shunned upon to have two wives. So it says, each year, Elkanah, I want you to get this part especially, each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. Then he talked about who the priests were, the kind of sacrifice that they did. And then, so Penina had children, Hannah did not. So Penina would taunt Hannah and make fun of her. And listen to this, because the Lord had kept her from having children. The Lord is the one who had kept her from having children. So this tells me sometimes the Lord is going to withhold things so he can get us to initiate contact with him. Year after year it was the same. Penina would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. And so each time Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah asked. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? And she was probably like, oh, you dummy, you know. Isn't it better? The man said, am I not better than having 10 sons? She said, obviously not. And so after the sacrificial meal, she got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was deep in anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. As she made this vow, please underline this part, screenshot it, whatever. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He'll be yours for his entire life. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut off. So the priest sees her lips move, but doesn't hear a sound. And so he thought she was drunk. And so he's obviously gets a bit ticked off at her. And then She says, no, sir, I'm not drinking wine or anything stronger. I'm very discouraged, and I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. Sometimes it's going to take great anguish and sorrow for us to seek the Lord. God may begin to orchestrate some things in our lives. Why? So that we are super dependent on Him. And that we continuously call out to Him and say, Lord, we need you to move. Cannot do this by myself. Then the priest goes, okay, in that case, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Thank you, sir, she exclaimed. She went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. And then hear this, verse 19. The entire family got up early the next morning, went to worship the Lord once more. They returned home. Then Elkanah slept with Hannah. The Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel. This is another piece that I need you to underline, verse number 21. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. Some of the things that stand out as we read that scripture or read that passage of scripture is that we are initiators and God is the responder. It's like a conditional promise. If you do this, then I will do that as a result of you doing this. So imagine the phone goes ring, 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 and then you pick up the phone, Elvis picks up the phone, and they say, hi, this is 000. I just want to find out, do you want ambulance, fire, or police? Do they do that? No. You call them. And so you call 000. They say, fire, ambulance, or police, and you tell them what it is. This is why they are called first responders. You call them, and they respond. They are not going to call you. And if they do call you, you're going to be super surprised. Like, what are you calling me for? Because they don't initiate the phone call. They respond to calls. We, because of the things that we're facing in our lives, have to be, God wants us to be those people that initiate, and then he'll do what? Respond. He will respond. So remember what she said. She made a vow. If you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. And that's exactly what the Lord did. Reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11, when Solomon had finished dedicating the temple. The Lord then responds to him and says, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. So God is creating the conditions. He's creating the conditions so that you can then do something. Because God is only going to move if you move. If you don't move, he ain't moving. That is the truth. So you initiate, God responds. Then he says this, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. So the environment will be created, whether by yourself or by the Lord. In this instance, we've seen that the Lord is the one who shut up this lady's ability to have children, which kept her at a place where she had to go to the Lord and be super dependent upon him. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. If I don't initiate, God doesn't respond. This is why God was very careful in setting up altars. Because you see, God gave us all dominion. If you go into Genesis chapter where he says, let us make man in our own image. And then he says he made them. And then he says, I gave them dominion. The ability to do what? To rule, have sovereignty over. And so how he then recognized that, look, if I'm going to do business on the earth, I need an instrument for doing that business. And he called that an altar. If I have flowers that I need to get to Australia and I'm in Antarctica, I use a plane that's going to come to Antarctica and take it to Australia. However, if there is no airport or landing strip in Australia, well, unless they drop it, that's the only way you'll be able to get it. So the airport, an airstrip, is an example of an altar because it allows exchange to take place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we've been given dominion, this is why you find that an embassy, when they set up embassies were set up so that we can do business country to country, because no country can go and want to and just go to Kenya and say, all right, I'm taking over, I'm getting all the animals out of Kenya and bring them over. No. The way you want to do it, they set up the embassies, which are the altars where they can go and do business together. That's what an altar is. It's a place of exchange where transactions happen. And so because God gave us sovereignty, he will not violate that sovereignty. This is why he's created the altar, so that we can then go to him for help, for things that he already wants to do for us. Because surely we know that in the plan of Hannah's life, there was a plan written down that she's going to have a child. And so this environment was created where she couldn't have children, and she decided to seek the Lord, and then all of a sudden, the exchange takes place. This is why setting aside those times, those altars, times for prayer and seeking the Lord is very important in our lives, because God does not want you living defeated. He wants you at your best. And the one way you're going to do that is create the exchange. Did I talk about David earlier? No. Don't worry, next time. So remember again, verse 21, it says, the next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. Elkanah has made an appointment with God. Back in those days, there was an appointed time every Israelite male was required to come to Shiloh where the tabernacle was set up. They had to do this 3 times a year, but especially on the Day of Atonement, where they had to offer up a sacrifice. This is why you find in that passage, you hear them say that he would give something for his wives to go and sacrifice. This is all part of that whole ritual that they were what? They were doing. Making an appointment. In Exodus chapter 23, it talks about each year you must celebrate 3 festivals in my honor. First, celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast, just as I commanded you. Celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in early spring. No one may appear before me without an offering. Remember, we talked about how sacrifice raises and sustains the altar. This is what the Lord is saying. If you're going to come to me, make sure that you bring your offering so that it can be what? It can be burnt up. And then it says, then the other celebrations that they had to do, it then says, at these 3 times each year, every man in Israel must appear before the sovereign, the Lord. So this is why that verse 21 says that, so he went every year so that he would fulfill his vow. This was something they were taught, that you have to do this. You and I have to make an appointment to see the Lord. You couldn't just rock up at any time you wanted and say, hey, you get there in November and say, I'm here to give my sacrifice. They'll be like, no, that was in April. You should have done that in April. You couldn't just do that. There were specific appointed times. We have to understand that there are some fundamental things about an appointment that we need to note. An appointment is a scheduled time which must have the following elements: venue, date, and time. This is why you should not be surprised if you get a bill from your GP saying you missed your appointment, and because you didn't notify us 24 hours in advance, you get a late penalty notice. Appointments are very, very important. So you're not going to be surprised you didn't call them to say I'm not coming, because they recognize that they don't want you arriving at your appointment at 2 o'clock when the appointment was at 11 o'clock. You have to be there at the specified time. Imagine if they are so gracious to us that they schedule the departure times. You want to go to Europe, and you just imagine if they didn't schedule a time. They just say, hey, make your way to the airport, and we will decide when we'll be taking off to go to Europe. That would be chaotic. As human beings, we understand the power or the importance of time, but especially about wasting time. This is why we all get ticked off when you say you're going to meet a girl at 11 and she don't turn up until 4. If you're still there, if it were me, I'm gone. Maybe if I give you 15 minutes, tops, see you. God is the same. He loves appointments, venue, date, and time. So we make an opportunity at the beginning of every year, and now in the middle of the year, opportunities for us to seek the Lord. But those shouldn't be the only times that we're seeking the Lord. We need to make appointments with the Lord to constantly seek Him, so that the fire does not go out, but also so I get my assignment for my life. Amen? I don't do that, no assignment. I keep wondering, and I'm ticked off at everybody because I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. This is why they're very gracious at your jobs. They give you a job description so you know specifically what you're supposed to do. Imagine just rocking up and just say, hello, I'm here. What am I going to do? Even you would be driven crazy. Today you're doing this, tomorrow you're doing that. No. These are the specific tasks I'm going to be scheduled to do. God loves appointments. In Luke 24, as we finish, verse 44, I'm not going to read it. You can go and read it at home. But I just want to emphasize verse number 49, where it says, and now, this is Jesus has been around after he'd been crucified, teaching the disciples some stuff. And then he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from where? From heaven. The King James Version says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, I've just scheduled an appointment. I've told you the venue. The only problem is that I haven't told you the date or the time. So now it is your ability to wait that's going to count. Will we tarry? Will you keep turning up to the appointments that you've set with the Lord, even when you don't know whether God will come? You fast forward in Acts chapter 2, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and then suddenly, bang, the power came. I bet you not all the people that were there when the instruction were given were there when the power came. So 120 of them that were there that day tarried, they waited, and got strength from on high. They went along doing their normal thing, but they didn't go out of Jerusalem. I sometimes wonder of the opportunities I've personally wasted, where I may go good for a while. Yeah, I'm seeking the Lord, and then sometimes it's like, I can't be bothered. And you don't do it. I wonder, maybe that would have been the day where he would have whispered something so profound in my life that maybe would catapult me somewhere. Or it could have been some freedom I would have received that would have allowed me to just, you know, break things off my life. Because we all got stuff. My issue is the ability to tarry, the ability to wait. Because when I get up, by the time I know I'm fully up, I'm already at 3 o'clock. I've already planned I could be up at 4. I know what I want to eat. And I make my way, okay, I'm going to eat at this time. I'm going to do this. I've got to see this person, that person. And so I find it very difficult to sit still. Lord, come on, catch up. I'm leaving. You know? Yeah, we're going, Lord. You ready? In our consistency lies the power. That we keep the appointments that we've set for the Lord. That's a challenge for me. I'm not going to stand up here and make it seem I've got it all down now. It's a struggle. But that's what the Lord is calling us to, our ability to tarry. Why? Power. God has given us authority, but he kept the power for himself. This is why we do business with each other. I got authority, he's got power. I say what he's given me to say, bang, power goes out and brings healing. That's the way it works. I have authority. He has power. In our consistency lies the power. So we have an opportunity. Can I get somebody to strum something, please? And we're finishing now. We're landing the plane. We have this opportunity from Monday, 29 July. Corporate fast where we're seeking the Lord together. And so we're going to ask that you would, you know, take these things here. Day one, we're praying for vision. Who knows that vision is important? Vision for my life, my family, my growth, my church. Thank you, Ms. Aaron. Day two, we're praying for love for God, my community, my enemies. Who wants to love their enemies? My church. And prayer. So you see, we pray for vision, then we pray for love, then we pray for the faith to believe, for healing, for breakthrough, for revival, for salvations. This is why he says, stay in Jerusalem until you get power from on high that will give you the ability to get these breakthroughs in your life. And so if we stand this morning as we finish this up, I have a story. And so one day, I was praying in the morning, trying to do this whole appointment thing. But remember I told you that the moment I wake up, I recognize that, ooh, I need to do some stuff. And so whilst here I am, I'm walking around, you do the 5 minutes of speaking in tongues and going crazy and whatever. Then I say to myself, I think this is, I must send that email to that person. It's very, very important. So guess what I did? Excuse me. Went and sent the email, sent the proposal through. Great. I go back to normal programming, spending that time with the Lord. And this is the first time in my life I just sensed the Lord was not happy. And I mouthed and I said, Lord, you don't seem happy. Did I do anything to tick you off? Silence. Got nothing. But it was just something that was, the thought was lingering in my head, and I'm trying to play worship music, trying to get things cranking when I'm working. It wasn't working. Later on that night, I'm doing something, and then this thing about appointment clicked. You see, that when I made that schedule and that appointment, that's exclusive time. You see, that time is precious to the Lord. And so he wants our full attention. Not wants our, you know, the different focus that we have. He wants our full attention. That appointment time has to be exclusive for the Lord. And then I finish off on this. As we're getting into this prayer and fasting next week, we're going to hear from Mr. Donovan. And now we know that the fasting that we do, the biblical fasting involves what? Fasting? Food. Not IT. Look, if you want to fast IT, who cares? You can do it. But we're talking about biblical fasting. And biblical fasting, I've searched this book to say, can I have an out? Because I love food. Because the funny thing is that the times I choose to fast is the times I choose to go do the shopping. I just love being at the shops when I'm fasting. And that is really killing me, because you know that you can't do what? You can't eat. And all I'm doing is tempting myself. And then no wonder I crash out. I don't go the distance because I've just surrounded myself with food. And so anyway, as I finish this, a friend of mine, we're going back, named Bruce. He was looking to go, before Uber came, to get a taxi license. And back in those days, it was a very competitive process to get a taxi license. And for the times that he tried, it didn't actually work. And so I said, look, why don't we get into a time of prayer and fasting before the day they issue the licenses? And so anyway, we said 3 days. So I said, ooh, thank goodness, not seven, three. I can do that. And so I remember we were praying. And then the very first night that we started this fast, I dreamt a snake going through the walls. And literally there was a crack, you know, between the wall and the paint. And the head of the snake was coming out. I grabbed a knife from the kitchen and I cut the snake. Well, I just cut it in, you know, just bang, and cut it in two. And the next morning I rang him and I said, this is what has happened. I think you'll get your license. Fast forward a few days later, yes. Through unbelievable circumstances, he got his license. I say that to say there is breakthrough power when we set aside that time for prayer and fasting. And so I'm really going to implore that you would put down whatever it is that you're believing the Lord for. And on the night that we have the prayer, we're going to have a scheduled time where we believe that the things that you asked the Lord for, he's going to cause some breakthrough to come into your life. Well, yes, of course there is. I think that's a very good question. If because of medical reasons you're taking medication, X, Y, Z, by all means, let's be practical people. Even though I said what I said about biblical fasting, you know, we just want to be very practical people here. Yes, good question. So as I finish, this is the prayer that I felt this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped us. And I hope, my prayer is that this will be a yes and amen in your lives. Father, we thank you this day that you are our Ebenezer, that you are the one that helps us, Lord God. And so, Father, for the things that your people are going through, Lord God, you are our helper. You are the one that we look to, Lord God. There is no one else like you. For, Lord God, even as Samuel says, there is no God like you. David said that, sorry. There is no God like you. There is no God that saves like you. And so we look to you, Father. And I just pray, Father, that we would hear stories of breakthrough where you have come in, where you've delivered, Father, where you've set your people free. So, God, I give you all the praise and all the glory that you are the one that helps us. May we rely on you. And, Father, I pray that you desire to make appointment with us, that we would make appointments with you so that we would have the power that comes from you. We would encounter you so we can receive the assignments that you have for each and every one of us. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week and see you next week, Sunday.